ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीजतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत श्रीराधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्तकांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि श्रीहरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Now, today we are embarking on the ideal household life according to the Vedic Varnashram system, and within the context of the system, for that purpose, how Srila Prabhupada intends and practicality the application of the same Devi Varnashram system in the modern times, in our times. So, I would like to read something from Bhagavad Gita that is much often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. In the conclusion of the Lord's identity, which was revealed as a universal form in the 11th chapter, but because Arjun was unable to relate with that form, it was ghastly and fearful, he asked the Lord to show his four-handed form, and then two-handed form, which is actually the original, which can be practically be more conducive to exchange our sentient feelings. Four-handed form, it will be very restrictive with awe and reverence, but two-handed form can give the fullest nectarian mellows in love of Godhead. And simultaneously, each and every living entity can fulfill the desire with the two-handed form, not with four-handed form. Krishna is available to anybody and everybody because he is so compassionate that as a kind father he expands himself and he makes various plans, various situations devised in such a way that all the living entities come to him. He says, Mama Vartamanu Vartante Manushya Partha Sarvasa. All living entities, they trade in the path chalked out for them by me to fulfill their desire. But after all, they all compulsorily follow under the subjugation of material nature. So, Krishna is concluding about his glorious form, his identity, and advises Arjun something which is very practical for us to understand. And that is, mat karma krit, mat parmo mat bhaktah sanga varjitah nirvairah sarva bhuteshu yaha sama mameti pandava. My dear Arjun, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who seeks work for me? Who makes me the supreme goal of his life? And who is friendly to every living being? He certainly comes to me. Let me read some synoptically the purport of Srila Prabhupada. He says, anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personality of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna must take this formula as stated by the Supreme Lord himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in material world with purpose of lording over the nature and who do not know the real spiritual life. Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here is the verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in the spiritual activity that is called devotional service. As far as work is concerned, because we are all inclined to work in any status, either brahmachari, grahastha, vanprastha or sannyasi, work is compulsory. So, as far as work is concerned, one should transfer his energy entirely to Krishna conscious activity. As stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, anasaktasya vishayan yatha arham upayunjatah nirbandah Krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya muchyate. No work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma. One may be engaged in various activities, but one should not be attached to the result of his work. The result should be done only for him. For example, one may engage in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do the business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Instead of constructing big buildings for sense gratification, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna, and he can install the deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity's service and is outlined in the authorized books of the devotional service. This is called Krishna karma. One should not be attached to the result of this work, but the result should be offered to Krishna, and one should accept prasadam as the remnant of offering to Krishna. If one constructs a big building for Krishna and installs a deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there. But it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. If, however, one is not able to construct a temple for Krishna, one can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. And that is also Krishna karma. One can cultivate a garden. Anyone who has land in India, at least any poor man has a certain amount of land, can utilize that for Krishna by growing flowers to offer him. One can offer a tulsi plant because tulsi leaves are very important and Krishna has recommended this. In Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam phalam, Krishna desires that one offer him either leaf or a flower or a fruit or little water. And by such an offering, he is satisfied. This is that even the poorest man can engage in service of Krishna. How we should engage in Krishna's service, that is the prime purpose, that while accepting the responsibility of the ideal family life, what is idealism based upon? That we should concentrate on. It is Krishna, Krishna's satisfaction. And we saw that for each and every ashram of any varna, he has to offer the service to for the satisfaction of the Lord. So here it gives a very nice explanation that even Lord Krishna himself in Srimad Bhagavatam is expressing this. What is the use of our life if it is not beneficiary to all living entities who are living around us? This means it also includes our family, but not only that, it includes the national service also. Wherever we are, we must become beneficial to everyone. That is the use of life. People inclined to do this certain but their acceptance of some service which may be thinking favorable, but does it refer to being done in consciousness of the Lord or not? So success of our ideal grihastha life, where there is so many responsibilities are there, including this responsibility. The responsibility starts from Krishna. And then to see that each and every living entity around us, you know, they must be satisfied. We have to live for their welfare. I mean, grihastha life is a big, big responsibility. The whole society depends upon this life. So what is the ideal situation? How to practice in the modern times? So, this fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj about the ideal family life, they are trying to concentrate on certain points which are very important for functionality in the household life. You'll be amazed, but I want you to participate in this discussion. Then, what is your thinking for particular point that we will be discussing? Now, first point we would like to take is, you can distribute. This is the guideline and the summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam that we have printed. But we are trying to extract the points. What's that? How many pages are there? One or two?
Two
pages. Okay. You can give. Nityananda Prabhu, you also help to distribute so we can run fast. You can take pen. The very first point we take in the ideal grihastha life. The very first point in ideal grihastha life has been emphasized for the purpose that we discussed from Bhagavad Gita, is to concentrate his entire life energy on Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And how to achieve this? In practicality, that is the subject matter that we have to take part in discussions. A householder, an ideal family life, according to the Vedic system, the very first point is to concentrate his entire life energy on Sri Krishna. Right? Actually, it is common for the other brahmacharis also, for vanaprastha also, and sannyas also. So, the first point, that we have so far discussed, it remains the same. But it is the most pivotal point. But how to achieve in grihastha life is the real dilemma for everybody. Right? So, we have to put up a brainstorming situation. Alright. The point here is discussed that one must hear from the mouths of realized soul, because they reveal the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and why should we totally depend upon Him, and why should we concentrate our life energies on Him. The point is that if we don't listen, what will happen? We will live a very uncontrolled life without any particular gain or success. So what do you think? It is said that if we concentrate our life energy, this will reduce our sense gratificatory attraction to wife and children, and we will be better situated. What is meant by it is not only attraction. Attraction means sense gratificatory attraction. Sense gratificatory attraction will be reduced, means we'll be more healthier in relationships. We'll be more respectable. Our family life will have a very, very strong foundation. The sense gratification is a very competitive and very, very obnoxious opposite result producing element. So, when we are guided by the spiritual authority, then we respect, because it yields a very, very long lasting effect, which is very healthy and conducive to the purpose of human form of life. Sense gratificatory attraction should be reduced, but at the same time, healthy attraction, which supports our functionality and mutual respect and security, everything will be increased. Sense gratification is a very, very dangerous adventure. It is a creation of ignorance, and people are not ready to pay the consequences. They are not ready to pay for the consequences. They rather want to escape, so they create so many laws in order to escape the responsibility. A person who is responsible to the Supreme Lord naturally become responsible for every members of our family life. Irresponsibility brings selfishness, and that disrupts the unity. That disrupts the unity. So better put somebody in between so whom we can properly worship, respect and understand him, and through his teachings and examples will become much more secure in the pursuit of our life. What do you think? Can it be done? Is it difficult?
By doing the daily Krishna.
Huh?
By doing the daily Krishna, we can develop attachment to Krishna.
Fine. That is one of the methodology that you put your attention in worship. That's good. But do you think it is impossible? Huh? Why? Where is the difficulty?
Past conditioning.
Huh?
Past conditioning.
Past conditioning is the difficulty, but the education was not there. Better get education. Parents try to give this education regardlessly. Right from childhood, there is a religious tendency to give the boost. So in future, sometimes he might have an inclination to understand more. A person who wants to become happy, happiness can only be derived by understanding properly, in a respectful way. Otherwise, it becomes a competitive aspect, and competition means enviousness, and that can create its own web work. So, man creates his web and he gets trapped into it himself. Then past conditioning will devour him, will go for the repeated birth and death in the miserable condition. So how can he expect happiness, even though he desires, but past conditioning does not help him? Either he develops faith by association of the spiritual authorities or Shastra or even the holy name, he will be inclined to know it further. So how long he can keep past conditionings? Past conditioning is an excuse. If one is intelligent, then he can overcome. Now see, in details, how, whichever way the past conditioning may be coming. The second point, while earning honest living, he must be very conscientious and must not undergo extraordinary endeavor simply to accumulate money. See, the suggestion here that one should not make a donkey out of himself, because he is a sentient human being. Sentient means he uses his senses in order to gain happiness. But what does the happiness has to do with the hard work? foolish donkey also does hard work for little sense gratification. What a big deal. So, something should be done in limited way, so he can have some time for happiness, even in misconception. That misconception can be corrected by superior process. By his inquisitiveness, because he is a living body. He has consciousness and he will not remain simply uneducated. Even a little sail wants to know how it is surrounding, how he can remain safe, how can he eat and remain peaceful with its environment. Even an amoeba has this sense. But a human being, he has highly developed consciousness. We think that people are over engrossed in material sense gratification. But rather we see, in correct way, people are over miserable. That is the observation. But foolish they are, either in happiness or miseries. They do not want to look into the reality. So at least as far as work is concerned, work is good enough that sustains his requirements, but not sense gratification. Because overindulgence in sense gratification is going to become miserable. Do you have a better idea? If you want to work excessively, Krishna will advise you, work for me. We'll apply one cardinal principle that Srimad Bhagavatam tells. I was talking, Krishna himself tells. It's a beautiful reading in the 10th canto where after stealing the clothes, the garments of gopis, Krishna blessed them. Krishna fulfilled their desire that they can consider him to be their Lord and Master. So, gopis understood the supremacy of the Lord and they were satisfied and they didn't want to leave the Lord. Right? But as he said, Krishna told them to go home now. Go home. So unwillingly they went. Meanwhile, Krishna wanted to do some more pastimes. But besides that, how he sets up the scene is very nicely described. Krishna went far away along with his cowherd boyfriends in the pretense of grazing cows, and as if they are tired they were sheltered under a tree. So Krishna started glorifying the trees. Oh, how benevolent they are. See, they provide us without asking, you know, shade. They are so benevolent. What is the use of life if it is not spent for others' cause? Even the trees can live. Why not human being? So what is the success of the human form of life? He said, etanvan janma safalyam dehinam iha deheshu pranay arthe dhiya vacha Shreyo Archanan Sada. that the successful of the human form of life, the success of the human form of life is based on whether one can really give his life to the Supreme Cause as the most beneficiary. If he cannot, then can he give some artha, spend or work for him and give him the results? If not, can he offer his intelligence? Or if he doesn't have intelligence, he can still give his words of glorification. But by resolutely living for his sake anyway will become the most successful point to make. That one must live for the welfare of others. One must live for the welfare of others. The sum total of others is the Supreme Lord. One should not go for this section of the society or that section of the society and try to do some so-called small welfares or temporary welfares. If you want to do the welfare, do permanent welfare. So, Krishna advises, oh, you have to offer your life because he is the life giver. Why not? So, if we try to work by over-endeavoring for a little or no gain, don't you think there is a lot of waste of time and energy that could be channelized? Do you think this energy that we have wasted, was it ours in the beginning? Now the trick, yes?
Maharaj, a question. Is Krishna's energy ever wasted, regardless what one does with it?
Well, you waste it if you are not in Krishna consciousness. Krishna's energy is not going out of from his jurisdiction. But from your jurisdiction it will be wasted. What is the benefit of wasting the energy of Krishna? You are the, yourself is not being benefited by it. How can it be of a benefit to others? And by the way, what right do you have to waste that energy? It is not yours in the beginning. So the trick in grasping life is what? If you can remain active externally, but contemplative internally, you think of the Lord, then I think a balance can be worked out. Can you do that? What do you think? Nityananda Prabhu, how about previous conditioning? Can it allow? I mean, one who is using his brain to make life successful, he looks to some ideals, not idols. Right? Ideals. They were criticizing the Indians, they are worshipping idolatry, because they think the demigods like Lord Shiva, Ganesh, Chandra, Hanuman, everyone is an idol. They are worshipping idol. But you see their character. It is so ideal that it is worth following. Now see the character of an American idol. He changes every year. So Australian idol was killed by the stingray. Can you follow him? Can you go and play with the snake? And he was beaten several times. And it was so dangerous, I have seen on the TV, that he was rushed to the hospital. You know? But he could not get away from stingray. Look at that. What is ideal about him? He may be an idol without character. A perfection of human form of life. He might have put up some trust and lot of money might be there, but where is it going? For helping poor stingrays? Okay, that's your karma payout. But as a human being, see, our helping that is recommended to even the smallest living entities will be not helping to the living entities but also to us. We will see how the idealism has to be kept in mind. If we keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the center of our lives, and center means all our consciousness, internally we are supposed to be. We can act externally for that benefit. There is no problem. Let's see. So he should be very active externally to earn, but he should internally be situated as self-realized person, without attachment for material gain. Internally situated means he is duty bound externally, but yet he is looking for his own internal peace, which is concentrated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do that. Is it difficult? Because he is existing externally and internally, both. But he needs the direction, how to act externally and how to act internally. He is a person within and without. The personality is within and without. So, a responsible person cannot neglect himself if he has to sacrifice his life for others. Otherwise, how he can become responsible for himself? If he is able to become responsible for others externally, why not he can become responsible for them more by externally as well as internally? So unless and until a person who is responsible for himself internally, he cannot take the welfare of the others internally. Mayavadis fail there. They do only philanthropy without any concern about the internal aspect. Because he is confused himself, he can't help himself, so how can he help others? So, we can remain very active externally, but we should always think of the Supreme and the cause of everything. Even if education in this regard can help us, take it. It's very valuable. Otherwise, who is there to give you? Unless and until you have some good fortune in the books of the Lord, then you may come to that process. This is a very, very important principle. I want your feedback. So, if a person is very active externally and internally attached to Lord Krishna in self-realized situation, right, or progressing towards self-realization, he is a devotee, he knows, and yet he has to perform this without any animosity, he is performing to whoever externally he is attached to, these activities, they are described like this. Dealing with family members or friends should be performed simply to fulfill their purpose. That means both external purpose and internal purpose of the family members. Is it not a full responsibility? The family members should not be casted out. He should actively serve them for their external purpose as well as internal purpose. If he cannot serve for that internal purpose, then at least he should serve for himself for internal purpose, and he should continue to serve them externally without attachment. Without attachment. But there is no way that you have to neglect. The devotees are a very good example. You know, in the beginning, this attachment and detachment principle is very well understood by the Western civilized and Eastern civilized people. In India, for example, this family ties and attachments are very strong. Do you think they are externally strong and not internally strong? Tell me, speak up.
Yes,
they are. Yes. They are with internal responsibility also. But at what extent? At the extent they know. But there may not be any ideals there. So they end up in traditions. The prestige of the family. And that's about it. Which may be for the external, but not for internal purpose. Khandan. Usse kya kehte hain? Khandan. Apne khandan ki aabru bachao. But that is an external purpose. Internal purpose means the purpose of his internal being. His spirit soul, himself. Khandan is an external bodily conception of life. One may be expert, but without the purpose of the Supreme Personality of God. Even the demons have their khandan. Ravana has his khandan too. Is it not? Our interactive is only nodding heads. Come on. They're saying, what are your experiences here? You have to tell me so we can develop more. Yes.
May I have a specific question from you? So I may relate to you an experience.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you want you to be specific for us.
Now or later?
Now.
Is it in relationship with this?
Yes.
Discussion?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm waiting for a question from you.
I'm asking you relate your experience in how to act externally as well as internally. So the purpose of our responsibility will be served.
From my experience, sometimes that which happens externally opposes that which is internal, and also the other way around. Now, it doesn't happen very often, but this seems to occur. There isn't a specific situation that it always happens in, but I find that sometimes my experiences lead me to recollect that on occasion they are in opposite and not in unison.
Because your external and internal are opposites. What's the big deal? But you have to act in such a way that you will not be entangled of the external, which is very, very dangerous. It creates a web. So don't get involved much on the external aspect. As much it is required to fulfill your duties, do it. Rather, remain more attached internally to the Supreme Lord. That is your very, very important duty. Then there won't be any question. We will come to that point. Okay? We are not yet reaching there. We are just simply putting up the prelude. Yes?
I had a question. You referred to the issue of khandan thing. So how much importance should we give to khandan? Suppose in one tradition, the father, grandfather, all are doctors.
Yeah.
So the son says, I want to become a pilot.
Yeah.
So should the dad allow him to become a pilot, or should he impose his rule of being a doctor or something?
One is not born as doctor. One has to cultivate the discipline to become a doctor.
Yeah.
But I suppose if there is no inclination to become a doctor, does it mean you are not in that khandan? Khandan does not depend upon the external linkage. Rather, it is the prestige of the standard of their belief or in which they are living. That is the right. Suppose your khandan is devotional. Then what good it is if everybody is doctor and you are not a doctor? That in devotion, all the occupations are included and you can offer it to Lord Krishna. So both your external activity as well as your internal activity will be in harmony. And there won't be any objection from the other members.
So the parent should allow the child to choose what he wants in his study or something.
Right, but first make sure the parents are devotees. You'll be safer. And you too become a devotee to make it safer. Otherwise, it's all external conflicts. What here it means, one should be active externally so he can fulfill the obligations or the responsibilities of the need, care, attention, fine. But attachment to that will be detrimental. So rather you become more introspective because that is your real selfishness. So that is the prime responsibility. Responsibility of others and responsibility of self. If you weigh the responsibility of the self is spiritual. The responsibility of others is both spiritual and material too. So the point is that you have to increase the internal responsibility so you will be able to detach. Otherwise you will be trapped there. We have to choose the responsibilities. By becoming internally more responsible, you will not become neglectful for them, because you have to be very active there too. But it is your private affairs. You don't let anybody know. You may guide them. You may help them. Because that is also your internal duty for them. Any question? If you develop the internal qualities, the first and foremost requirement is tolerance. Tolerance is an internal quality. You should not be swayed away from that, the first and foremost supreme goal in your mind. You cannot be deviated. Right? Then and then all your strength of practicality will come. That even though we are getting less opportunity for our sadhana especially, but our conformation should not be shaken up. As soon as you get the opportunity, just put up the, what you call, retroactive compensation. Put it up. As for example, you are unable to finish your rounds. However hard you tried, you will feel obliged internally. Your determination is, how can I be, you know, left out like that? I will make an extra endeavor. Take your chances or take a calculated risk. Finish it up. Otherwise you will know that you will be indebted internally and you won't be at peace with yourself. Right? So, don't get disturbed. It happens because this is Kali Yuga. It will be more nastier probably in few more years' time. Why do we have to take chance? Right? So the idea is that circumstances are not favorable. Think that this is a really bad bargain to acquire a material body is called a bad bargain. You know? But what is the best use of it? Not the sense gratification. It's not the best use. Because it's going to put you into more miserable condition. The objects of sense gratification themselves are the breeding ground for the miseries. Therefore, a sober person does not dwell into them. Does it mean that he is disrespectful? People become dysfunctional at early age, and that causes their split in the family life. Because that is sense gratification, which is what you call boomeranging their desires into and smash them right away. But ego is so high, okay, if not you, somebody else. In the Vedic culture, training and importance of the worship of the Supreme as sacrifice, that alone we cannot do too will be able to help us our case. So that is a better proposition. In the West they are talking about the nuclear family, and they were so much obsessed with that idea, now they want to go back to the value system. It's too late to repair. In the hippie generation, I will tell you that this generation, the present generation in the West, is worse than hippies. So we will have to see more. But now they are thinking how to go back. There are a lot of situations that are coming in the education. Education has become not only a business, but it is so much insecure that you can't teach anymore. You cannot teach anymore. You can't bring your value system in it. The kids, totally get furious. And it becomes, a crime. It's against the law to teach even value system in the West. So the idea is that one becomes very, very practical by putting up this internal situation as a real selfish situation. Nate vidu swarth gatim hi Vishnu. Durashayai bahiratamani. Bahiratha means external. If person has inclination only for the external activity and nothing else, then he is not a human being even. He is an animal. And where is the question for an ideal family life for him? Never. So, this is a very practical application, how to mend our problems. Even in sadhana or making the internal situation. Oh, this is the best example. You know Lord Shiva very well. His family is called ideal family. You won't get any example like that. See external and internal situation. Examine in the character of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva himself is so detached. He wears only the garments made up of skin only for meant for the ascetic people. Right? Means he is the father. He is the father of the material creation. And his wife Durga is the mother. She may have different inclination than Lord Shiva. And sometimes she overrides Lord Shiva, just to fulfill her desire. And Lord Shiva lets her do. But most of the time she is obedient. Right? She is obedient. What a strong choice. That's external or internal? But I bet you that prasadam, in the form of prasadam, it will be the best. So Lord Shiva, even though all his family members are of opposite nature, every member has something opposite to somebody else. The snake and mouse do not enemies, the snake is the enemy of the mouse, but the peacock of Kartikeya is also enemy of the snake. there's a tiger and bull of Lord Shiva. So you can see, and there is difference between the psychology of Ganesh and Kartikeya. You name it, right? And as I said, Lord Shiva and Parvati themselves are sometimes, yeah, but we never heard a quarrel between them or between any of the family member. You know why?
Because the center is Krishna. Center point is Krishna.
Yeah, but that Lord Shiva is always chanting. All right, he keeps in devotional service. His internal makeup is of devotion. So upon the basis of internal makeup, we will be calculated as devotees, not from external makeup. Everybody lives on externally. The sadhana should be more internally. Right? Sadhana should be internal sadhana. You were asking question, Maharaj, why do we have to hide Guru? Why do we have to hide our mantra and mala and Ishtadev? Everything is to be hidden. Because it's an internal sadhana. External sadhana is all right. Because without external you can't become internal. Right? But internal is more appreciated for the advancement who can resolve the problems of the life. External sadhana may create problems. You say something. Oh, the parents will think, my son is chanting Hare Krishna. Oh no, he is going out of my hands. So there is conflict of selfishness. But that is external selfishness, not internal selfishness. Right? So, but the internal sadhana takes over and keeps the command because it develops a character and character develops a behavior and it is all beneficial. We read today, the purpose of becoming a Brahman is to culture that behavior which will be beneficial to everyone. So by giving proper respects to Brahman, the service to individual, to all the living entities, and service to the nation will be also fulfilled. That's what we saw in the morning. So, the point of detachment is not a rejection. Therefore we read from Bhagavad Gita, what is Yukta Vairagya? Means the detachment that helps us in realizing Krishna. Yukta means you don't have to give up artificially anything. You have to externally engage yourself as if you are too attached. But internally, like Lord Shiva, you have to become detached. So, this is explained in forthcoming points. Dealing with the family members or friends should be performed simply to fulfill their purpose. Right? One should not extravagantly engage in this way. This is the next one. Sometimes people misunderstand this. They become so puffed up, they neglect the friends and family members. By misinterpreting this. The purpose means what? External purpose. So you are externally so expert that you will never let them know that they are not being taken care of. So where is the question of neglect? If you think, I am more selfish for myself, so I have to neglect them, that is an artificial renunciation. Prapanchikittaya buddhaya hari vastu sambandhinah mumukshuhi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathyate. Prapanchiki buddhi. Oh, you think you are very selfish for your sadhana. You don't want any disturbance and you want to kick them everybody out. Get away from here. You know, don't disturb me. I'm a devotee. Then why are you hanging out there? Go in the temple. But are you going to reject them from their responsibilities? Because they are also living entities and Lord is also sitting in their heart. How could you deny that? Rather, become an intelligent person and develop your intrinsic nature right there. Oh, they are too disturbing. Then you become too much expert. Always devise ways and means to trick them. If they are treacherous, then you become more intelligent and trick them to fulfill your internal purpose. But don't neglect, otherwise you will be in soup, both externally and internally. All right.
Hello?
Yes.
Sometimes we hear they say, if you take more responsibility of your family members, then you won't be able to engage in say preaching activities or things like that. So try to give this kind of responsibility to your other family members, and you continue doing some preaching activities. So how is it that?
Okay. You engage the other family members in preaching activity. So, you pay more attention to them and develop them. Right? If you neglect your own family members and go out and preach others, then paropadeshe panditya. We are expert in preaching others, but not to ourselves. So the thing is that, of course, if they are not interested, they will make their way out themselves. So you will be free. That's a fact. But you are not neglectful for your duties. You can't run after them because they are playing hide and seek with your life. How long can you run? If you are too attached, you will keep on running after them forever and ever and ever for nobody's benefit. That means over-attachment is detrimental. Detachment doesn't say you kick them out, use them in service of Krishna. That is Yukta Vairagya. Even family members become more intelligent. Alright, you may not be able to do alone. Then here we'll come to understand something more. Instructions from family members and society should be accepted superficially to become more smart. We are told something. The instructions from the family members and society should be accepted superficially. But if they are instructions towards Krishna consciousness, accept it internally also. But in essence, grahastha should engage in occupational duty advised by the spiritual master and shastra. Here comes the importance of guru, right, and the scriptures. The guru can tell how the things are going on. Are you happy? Are you all right? Any problem? The guru should see the internal situation. If they are not progressing much, then go and shake up. Because there may be real external disturbances there. Therefore, they are not progressing internally. So, he sees both the aspects, external and internal, for his disciple, and then make adjustments. Like, for example, mediation. Mediation is allowing the adjustment to make a win-win position. So the progress can be realized. It is for the internal progress of both. And it brings amazing results. Because dvaite bhadra abhadra sakali saman yai bhalo yai man sab manodharma. In the existence of duality, one cannot simply say, oh, I am right and you are wrong, and then make a big war like Kurukshetra and go to the court. And No. That's all the same. Because that's based on manodharma, external. So, guru puts up the weight for internal development. So why should he take side of anyone? Rather, he takes side of eternal time, Krishna. External differences are nothing but waste of time. One should not indulge into that externality. But internal situation one has to visualize, and tangible progress can be made on that basis. That will be very, very successful. So, I hope everybody has communication with their respective gurus. Have it? Do it. Then we will make tangible progress. So, now it comes about the occupational duties. According to Varna and Ashram, the spiritual master knows his internal makeup and his preference towards the external activity. So he suggests that to fulfill both, he should stick to whatever the prescribed duties for that varna and ashram is. And he should make sure that they follow. If one is not a Brahman, but wants to go and do the laborious job only, he wouldn't get the opportunity to be Brahman by laborious job. It doesn't mean laborious job is less Krishna conscious. It can be highly Krishna conscious. As I said, in ISKCON we have a training policy. Whoever comes new, he's sent into the kitchen to wash pots. However, he might have done better job than that. And the devotees will encourage, Prabhu, Prabhu, you are washing your own pot of the heart. So, allowing Lord Krishna to come and sit very quickly. So, do a good job. Wash very nice. Inside out. This is called Chetodarpana Maharjana. It's a transcendental process. But it is achieved through much practical approach. So a Brahminical person is never told, oh, go and wash pots. Because his inclination is, I'm going to serve the Supreme Deity form. But he has higher responsibility to be internally situated. If a pujari cannot see the Supreme Lord sitting in everyone's heart as Paramatma, his puja does not reach to Krishna. It's simply a labor. Just waving, ganti, bajao, bas itana danda. He will never progress. He has been given opportunity because of Brahminical culture. He should develop internally. Become, you know, conversant with the philosophy. He should study, he should practice much more austere, reconfirm the vows that he has taken. Become introspective to realize the absolute truth. And the process is Archana Paddhati, the deity worship. It is very important. It is playing such a big role that both externally and internally you have to be thoroughly clean in and out. Clean. Suchi. That is the first and foremost lakshana of Brahma. But it affords him the opportunity by external behavior and internal makeup. Not otherwise. So, what kind of occupation we have to support in Brahminical society or the Society for Krishna Consciousness? Prabhupada said it should be Vaishya. We should depend upon agriculture. Because Krishna accepted that medium of agriculture, means cow protection and agriculture both. And whatever the economy develops from that is the most conducive to Krishna consciousness. So, the spiritual master makes a plan for engagement in this in so-called agricultural industry. Agriculture is not called Ugra Karma. Other things are Ugra Karmas. Ugra means very violent activity. And this has been very nicely described that our life will become much more simpler. You will tell me, how is it possible? We are all in a different work. Do we have to become farmers? Does it mean that?
No.
But we have to support farming. Yes. We have to support cow protection. So use any way to support that system. That is also good. Got the idea? So, you can offer the results of your work to Krishna to support them. But this is the most important activity for the devotees to get into. Other activities are not. In the early times when they were thinking about Varnasham Dharma, many, many devotees I want to be a Kshatriya. I will have a gun, I will have this, I will have that. Rajoguna. They want to control. Many, many devotees went into, and they fell prey. You know. They think we will protect by, you know, getting into the administration class. That is their inclination. But Prabhupada was not interested in that. Never he ever wrote that we want ISKCON should support those and develop, and it should become one of the major systems. Never. Brahminical culture depends, they have direct relationship with the agriculture. You know. In Nanda Maharaj's town, he was only Vaishya. Agriculture and cow protection was the main business. And Krishna showed his super excellent pastimes in that environment. Yet Nanda Maharaj went to council to give taxation. He was paying tax to council, who was administrative. He was supposed to practice or protect the culture. Right? He was supposed to protect the culture. But no. So Krishna has to take charge of everything. And he killed Kamsa. For Krishna there is no varnasram system. He was born as a son of Kshatriya, was raised as son of Vaishya, then went back to become a Kshatriya, you know, and did his job. He can do simultaneously. Prabhupada says that in Vrindavan, actually, no demons are there. But forcefully, if the demons come to kill Krishna, Krishna will take his Vasudeva form and chop them off. But it was just to protect the brahmanas and the cows. Namo brahmanya devaya. Go brahmani hitaya cha. Jagat hitaya krishnaya govindaya namo. Jagat hitaya. Jagat, the welfare of the entire universe depends upon krishi gauraksha vanijyam. So, we should support those activities. Now, you can see this culture can support so many other things. So an ideal grahastha must be very much affectionate towards lower animals, insects and bees even, treating like their own children. Not killing for sense gratification, but provide for their necessities of life. And that provision is chiefly in the form of prasadam. This is the activity of the grahastha. Everyone should do. Like sponsoring prasadam, if you cannot go and distribute, let the devotees distribute. Right. And they should spend his income in five things. Worship of the deity, receive Vaishnavas and saintly people, distributing prasadam to general people and all living entities, then offering prasadam to forefathers in Shraddha ceremony, and also partake for himself. These are the five activities. The oblation to forefathers is best served by feeding the brahmanas on the death anniversary of the parents. That's the best oblation. Prasadam is already offered as sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. Right? When we offer bhoga with love and devotion, it becomes prasadam. So, it's already coming as a consecrated foodstuff for love of Godhead. So it is suggested that he should spend his money rather than collecting the unnecessary plastic junks and their whatever contrivances they are into it. Electronic plastics or what not. Then he should visit the place of pilgrimage. It's also one of the ideal thing. So, thus, an ideal grahastha life where worship of the Supreme Lord becomes the pivot or the center of his affairs, both external and internal, he benefits his family, his society, his country, and the whole humanity at large. How does he benefit? The all living entities. A devotee is not a pest living on the society. Therefore, an ideal householder should think in that terms. He is more benevolent and beneficiary to others. It includes not himself or his family or his society or his country, but the whole humanity. The whole humanity. So, these are the main points that we can cover. They have been given to you. Try to study. Now, let's do some brainstorming of plus, minus, and interesting aspect. Jiva Jago! Let's take plus, minus, and interesting points that we discuss something and write down how many people favor what and what will be the ideal in their conception. Okay, you can wipe it out. My question is, how does an ideal family householder benefit all living entities simultaneously? Means one who is following this ideal, how does he benefit? Yes. But that's the philosophy.
Keeping Krishna in the center and satisfying Krishna by devotional service.
Everything is satisfied, that is automatically. But how do we take for granted? It will depend upon the maturity of the belief or realization. But our point is that how factually, by becoming a devotee, everyone will be benefited. And especially ideal householder. Yes?
Krishna is sitting at the facility in the heart, and he's actually witness to all the activities that, all the good things that you're doing for your family, for all the other living entities. And with time, he will facilitate for you to actually see the change in your family and in the other people that you're exposed to.
This is something ideal, but that I want to know in terms of benefits. Because what is beneficiary? What is the gain here? You know, we work for no gain. But here he is saying that everyone will be benefited. So everybody is something gaining. What are they gaining? So people will inspire. So inspiration is a gain or not? So put down is called positive. On positive aspect, inspiration. Yadyada charati shrestha tattaye vetaro jana sayat pramanam gurute lokastadanu vartate. An ideal person becomes inspirational. You know? We were talking about American or Australian ideal. Idol is for sense gratification. But this is the gain in reality. So what other gains you think? Harmony.
Maharaj, everybody in society is basically looking for eternal happiness. That is the whole quest of everyone, whether he is a devotee or non-devotee. So, but they do not know where to look for such happiness. So a grihastha devotee, by learning Srila Prabhupada's books, develops the knowledge and understanding, and by personal application and preaching, he is able to therefore share the right way of.
You can say increasing knowledge, the knowledgeability and positive aspect for construction. We can detail it. That will be gain rather than distraction.
You always have a helping attitude.
Helping attitude. How would you explain? Helping attitude denotes to which particular gain?
Somebody needs financial aid.
Oh my God! A devotee is not bound for those external.
Sometimes. If they are feeling any like that, this is something, so you offer prasadam and you give to them, and instead of giving something, and then also.
You want to say that he. He is fulfilling need on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Because Supreme Lord is the only one who fulfills desires of everyone. So, he is serving, by serving the Supreme Lord, he takes on the responsibility of Supreme Lord. It doesn't make him Supreme Lord, but he is assisting the cause of the Supreme. That you may say.
Tolerance
means he will be able to absorb what? Nasty things?
Yes.
No.
But what if my experience
is predominantly a negative one.
So, by tolerant it will become positive?
It can, I think.
See, tolerance, it doesn't mean that the one which is not advisable to indulge, that is your choice. Why do you have to tolerate it? As for example, those who are not following four regulative principles, do you have to be tolerant of them, or you have to be having some kind of compassion on them and you treat them? If you are tolerating all the ills of the society and let it go, then where is your preaching going to happen? Right?
Tolerance in respect to those who follow the regulations and are negative.
Now, how the tolerance will help everyone else? Benefit all living entities? That's our question. He may be benefiting himself by tolerating and not indulging into those nasty things, right? But how the society will become pure by his tolerance?
See, Prahlad Maharaj, he was trying to teach even his little friend about the Lord Krishna against the will of his father.
Right.
And he tolerated so much agony and everything, but still he kept on teaching about Krishna. So that tolerance helped others.
I will tell, it is compassion to the ignorance.
Yeah.
Those who are virtually either not in knowledge or deliberately, you know, violating the rules of human form of life. Because of ignorance, one can become compassionate and so he can preach. You cannot preach if you tolerate those activities. You can tolerate for yourself, but you will not be able to preach others unless you develop compassion on them. Nityananda Prabhu told us, he prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to kill Jagai and Madai. Please be tolerant and show your compassion. Otherwise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to kill them. So, compassion is the real thing that benefits the other. Toleration may help me a little bit, but probably it will be disturbed in my family. Go and tolerate some insult and your family members will tell you, you are a fool, don't go again. You can't imitate. We want you. Sometimes my disciples say, Maharaj, we want you. Just be very, very careful about your diabetes. And I have to tolerate? Or they have to tolerate me? No. They are compassionate. So they are trying to benefit me. It's not tolerating. It's rather their compassion. So I am benefited. All right.
A devotee is by his preaching work or by his prasadam distribution, because all these activities are beyond the scheme of material nature, it's a karma. So is he giving a permanent sort of relief to the miseries of society rather than giving temporary philanthropic help?
Relief is good.
And increasing simplicity in the life.
That's also good. That means you don't need a car? And
not luxury car, not like Mercedes Benz or maybe Rolls-Royce.
How about an oxen car? You are supposed to support that. About 3 years, four years back in Mayapur, Jayadeva Swami was just starting to give class. And a big trailer, the it's called Agasur, he passed through, you know, and he was making so much rattling noise. And Jayadeva Swami said, "What is this? In Mayapur, Prabhupada told us to become simple and dependent upon the cow protection. And this Agasur is a machine, is an Ugra Karma. Why we should depend upon? Where is the policy?" And he started giving the whole class on this Agasur. and says, "This is not good. You could have employed so many oxen in service of Krishna. While this Agasur is simply living on the petrol and it is making so much expensive." You know, like that. So anyway, simplicity is a good. How about when the society feels security? Because there is no violence. How about satisfaction? Yeah. Means sense gratification is an envious act. When there is no sense gratification, there is no animosity. So benefit is there is no animosity. The satisfaction is there, both internal and external. It will cover.
A good friend of others because he is not competitive or envious with them.
Okay, but it's the same thing. If it's not envious, means he's a friend. But tell me now something for the negative aspect of this.
Does not help towards the economy of the country.
Well, tell him the entire economy of the country still depends upon the cow. But because you are insane, you slaughter her and keep your economy straight. But it is very difficult to keep this economy. Again, the entire economy today is dependent upon the cow slaughter. In Kali Yuga, cow slaughter was the first and foremost symptom. And it is becoming rampant. Do you know India is racing for the first place for cow slaughter? It's exporting beef. It's the second largest country in the whole world to export beef. You need the statistics? You'll be surprised. BBC produced a documentary called No More Secret to expose this mentality of godless civilization. And they are thinking India is making progress with tainted blood of the cow. Krishna's intelligence, while keeping the cow alive, the entire family of cow becomes our father and mother. Therefore, dharma was in the form of a spotless bull, and the earth is cow. The entire economy during Krishna's time and Krishna's intelligence was proving on keeping the sanity of the human society. When Kali entered, he made insanity by taking toll of the cow herself. So much so that the first and foremost corruption came into the Brahminical class, that under the pretense of fire sacrifices, they started offering Gomedha Yajnas and Kaang and Ashwamedha Yajnas just to end up gratifying their senses, especially beef eating. That's why Lord Buddha has to come. Nindasi Yajna Vide Ahaha Shruti Jatam Sadaya Radaya Darshita Pashughatam Keshav Drita Buddha Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare. So, it's the insanity. What is the difference between yesterday's economy and today's economy? Means during time of Lord Krishna, he is living for the benefit of go Brahman Nihitaicha, for the benefit of cow and Brahman. And if we are Krishna conscious, we have to promote that. Because otherwise what is happening? The same cow is being slaughtered and become the pivot of the entire economy. If you investigate, I'm sorry to tell you, somehow or another, some portion of our earnings is tainted by the blood of cow. It is coming through there, more or less. A devotee in modern time, how he should refrain from such influence of the activities or the spread out of such activity? It depends upon the Krishna consciousness. We have to see what kind of soap are we using, made from that cow slaughter. What are we using? If we use, means we become supporter. What do we consume? India was so polluted and it's still polluted that just to befool the people, they are using cow tallow for even eating in the name of so-called ghee. That's a fact. About 6 years back, when we opened up Allahabad temple and installed the deities, Bhadracharu came to perform fire sacrifice. And he was putting oblation, and it wouldn't burn, it wouldn't burn, it wouldn't burn. So I said, Bhadracharu, this is my suspicion. He said, yes, Maharaj, you are right. You get ghee, which is cow tallow, and it would not burn in. People sell that in open markets. About a few years back, they started importing toilet soaps from Netherlands, which was far cheaper than Indian soap, because it was made from the waste. I was traveling from South Africa to India back when Delhi temple was open, and I had to stay over in Dubai for about 8 to 10 hours. I went in the country, but at the same time I had an eye on some newspaper advertisement. One Mr. M. Lal had 11 chain of department stores in Middle East, and he was importing beef from India. you know, and it was half the price than imported mutton from India. Because the cows are free. They are still profitable. But you have to raise the goat. Goats are not free. So this is the situation. India is very proud of making so much foreign exchange on this. Do you think it will be a happy country? No. It's insanity. You name it, which industry will not be affected by this cow industry? It is the pivotal. So, we should not undermine the teachings of the Shastra, which tell the truth, however impalatable it may be. It is the truth. And can we tolerate this? You can tolerate any damn thing, but not this. Because if we are not civilized, then we are paving our own destruction sooner or later. But sooner is the word. Kali is not going to wait for us. He is the agent of Lord Krishna in his own merits. So, what negative situations you think of economy of the country? Let the economy go to hell. If economy is going to break, you better believe people will come to their senses very, very quickly. In Srimad Bhagavatam it tells, you know, that devotees will eat grass because economy will be collapsed. And the atheist, they will increase so much and they will thrive on their children. They will eat their children. And it is already being begun. Where does this aborted embryos go? Have you got? I will show you the whole slideshow. It is so nasty, churning your stomach inside out. But it's a hard fact. Bhagavatam says that. So the idea is that it's already on the negative side, which is going on. You will make positive effort, so it will be always benefit. If this would have been Satya Yuga, probably our parameter will be a little different. But this is Kali Yuga, you are benefiting everyone. And after all, if you are an enemy for this economy, it wouldn't hurt the big capitalist, you know, because you are not going to compete with them. You are saving yourself, you are benefiting them even, the nastiest people. Because Prahlad Maharaj's policy is to become compassionate on the ignorant. It means you develop devotional service which will be on the Uttamadhikari level. What does the topmost devotee, the first class devotee, think of this? What does the first class devotee's attitude? He sees the Lord, he sees the devotee, and he also sees non-devotees on the equal platform. A first-class devotee, an ideal grahastha who becomes first-class devotee can see virtually that he is benefiting the entire society because he sees with equivision the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of his deity as well as in the devotees also as Paramatma and and non-devotees. So he is not attached to any particular section. Uttamadhikari. He is all beneficial. His existing existence is all beneficial. Paropakaraya jivanti sadhava. So when Krishna was talking to his friends, that paropakaraya phalanti vriksha. Only for the paropakar, that the trees are fructifying, because they don't eat their fruit. They provide others. So, paropakaraya jivanti sadhava. The sadhus live for others' benefit. So, ideal grahastha life must concentrate on others' benefit as well as self-interest. What else do you think?
Because a devotee is not he's sort of devoid of sense gratification, the consumer industries are affected.
That is the economy. It's the same thing.
He's not, like, economy means he's not contributing to the economy, but here he's not consuming.
In one way, okay. Meat industry is, for example, in America almost everybody was eating meat. There were hardly anybody who can be counted as vegetarian. But when the devotees started vegetarianism, today 35% Americans are vegetarian. So you may say 35% dent has been created in the economy. No. Economy compensates other way around by nastiest things, you know. Vegetarianism is a good effect, a healthier effect. The yoga and vegetarianism both went together, hand in hand. But at the same time we see the percentage of the economic figure would not be much disturbed. When you see their ordnance factory and the production of armaments, the budget of the defense ministry in America itself is so humongous. It's more than 10 times than the total budget of India. Only the defense. And they earn a lot from that by providing armaments to other countries. So what kind of economic dent? In America they say, well, good, Hare Krishna, all right, you leave, no problem. That's how they are able to afford even others. If we make an important dent, that is in the dent of, in the consciousness of the society. Prabhupada said, in the beginning, they will laugh at you. And after that, they will be become inquisitive. And at last, they will persecute you. And at last, they will appreciate you. They will laugh at you, right? Then they will persecute you, then they will become inquisitive with you, and at last they will appreciate you. So this is the kind of dent, and slowly and gradually, as the holy name spreads, the consciousness will be there. So actual benefit, disadvantage to the modern civilization is that by becoming Krishna conscious or ideal family member, family life, head of the household, we will create a rebellion in the impious lives. Create a rebellion, and nobody wants the rebellion. Right? to create rebellion in the impious lives. It's a negative effect. Are we ready for the negative effect? Creating negative effect there. For you it is positive, for them we are talking, we are creating, you know, some, what you call, detrimental effects, negatives in the society. In their purview, it's a rebellion. Oh, I see. So family disturbance. Alright? But you know the other behalf? You have to include one of the most important point. If somebody becomes a devotee in the family, he delivers 7 generations of the family members from both father side and mother side. 7 means 14 generations. Discouraging. You can put discourages.
Because there are quite a few people who are following the other paths. They are not prepared to come to us because they think that there will be some problems in life if they begin to change their
lives. Okay, there is a counteract for that too. Don't worry. It will be an interesting point. Is time up?
No, we are bringing battery cells.
What is it? Any other negative points?
Decrease in population because the girls now only follow samskara for Krishna conscious children.
So it will be a decrease. No? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said something other way around. You know? He said, if a devotee is dead sure of begetting Krishna conscious children, he can produce hundreds of children. Right? So it will be overpopulation. Prabhupada was asked this question. Swamiji, when all the hippies will become your devotees, then what will happen to the whole world? And Prabhupada said, they will all become hippies. Right? From hippies to happies. So where is the loss? So we should see some interesting points in this. What do you think it will be interesting if negative things are coming from some misconception or other? So there will be some counteractive thing that will either reduce or eliminate the negative impacts. What do you think, when it creates rebellion in impious lives, is an external or internal change will come?
Internal.
Not external?
First external, then internal.
Yes. Both will. So, it's such a powerful process that it creates rebellion in impious lives, means by practice and by the internal makeup. It starts virtually creating a situation of suffocation, and they want to come and take shelter. So for example, Russian wars. People were so much frustrated, they don't want to go to the war. When the CIS countries, you know, rejected the Russian autocracy of communism, you know, they created rebellion. And the devotees were there. And a tremendous impact was given. So within short time, you know, so much was accomplished. But we had to take opposition also. And we are facing also opposition of atheism there. We are not getting our land back even in Moscow, in Kazakhstan also, and in Mayapur also, because everything is communist. Hare Krishna. So this kind of effect is there. But do you think, is there any disheartening situation? These are apparent reactions, negative reaction. What is interesting here? When you see something adverse effect comes to Krishna consciousness, how do we have to see? Means faith and conviction. And if we stay united in tribulation, then that faith fructifies. Param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. So, interesting thing is that we get conformity. We get conformity. Confirmation comes. Otherwise, in belief system generally, there is no confirmation. If you ask confirmation about Christianity, how do their belief is that? They wouldn't have any explanation in their theology. Verification, confirmation is a very interesting point that we get it. If family is disturbed, alright, then who can be more nastier than Hiranyakashipu in the family? And most of the family members have some kind of piety, some kind of piety, especially when they are attached to their children, right? The piety becomes little bit obstacle for themselves to go for nastier actions. Some cases have happened, like brainwashing cases, deprogramming, kidnapping the kids by the parents and get the deprogrammer paid high ransom. Right? So some demons or demoniac activity may arise. But again, the conformity comes. Because to have a positive faith is more beneficial than anything else. Without having no faith, Krishna says, for a doubting mind, there is no happiness in this world or in the next. Samsayatma vinashyati. Samsayatma vinashyati. For a doubting mind, there is no happiness in this world or in the next. So, interesting thing is that in any tribulation, devotee with a positive faith and or the family that supports this, it will be very helpful. But if the family is against, but then he will have more support of the devotees. Devotees help in Sankirtan movement like anything. More or less by association of the devotees we are helped to foster our faith and confirmation. That is the power of Sankirtan movement. So it is interesting to note that not only the faith will be confirmed, but also the necessary provision to protect our faith will be there. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Yoga means keep intact the faith, and I provide him what is necessary to sustain himself. So starting from faith, then to the grossest manifestation, Krishna helps. Therefore, for advancing in devotional service, one must have a full faith that Lord Krishna is my protector, and I must depend upon him and him alone, and nobody else. Not on the world economy. It will take us to the hell, because it is going to the hell. Any discouragements, individual discouragements may be difficult to, thwart. But remaining in association is a very great help. So it is interesting that the association of the devotees is always at our side. They even become compassionate to our plight if we come into some problems. So for example, recently, about 3 days back, in Mayapur flood, 3 devotees perished by the boat capsizing in the flood waters. And Prabhupada's granddaughter passed away in that. And her one daughter, her husband was holding them, but she could not sustain and she sunk. And the one child was in his hand, and yet she left the body. So two of his family members, Vrindavan Chandra Day, called her that please come to Calcutta and go back after the flood waters. But the devotees got together so much, in compassion. So the strength of recouping comes from the association of the devotees. the devotee mind. So there is always some kind of superior situation. So Harisori Prabhu sent the whole official report in detail, in very graphic narration, you know. This said event. So, individual discouragement, you know, how it is helped. In karmi life, nobody will come up with this kind of closeness in attachment to Lord Krishna. They think extended devotee family members are also their own. Then, what Srila Prabhupada says, that let them laugh, let them persecute. That's all right. Because devotees should know that they should not depend upon anything else but Lord Krishna's mercy. It means, what is the harm? What is the loss for him? Even if his body perishes, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead, in complete shelter. Even if a devotee dies accidentally, Krishna never forgets the service rendered to him. Therefore, he personally takes care of such a departed soul. Yamaraj doesn't have to come. Yamadutas are told by Yamaraj, don't disturb the devotees. So the idea is that there are interesting points which are always giving us so much hope on the other side. But in materialistic life, there is no idealism, there is no even hope for the future. So, life of complete cognizance, the awareness which is called Krishna consciousness, is always beneficial. We try to see in our grihastha life, because we confront or we come across so many so-called trivialities that may disturb us or may enthuse us. But the underlying fact is that the perfection of the human form of life while remaining in grahastha is the most suitable opportunity to execute the Krishna consciousness with so much responsibility. How one can ever think that I'll be happy simply by living for sense gratification? So, in this way, we have to look into the idealism that is ever remain helpful to us. So, we try to imbibe as much as possible and try to encourage ourselves, our family members, by giving them proper opportunity to understand. So employ this kind of technique if there is some argument of misunderstandings are there, and always remain. The most important thing that we cultivate a culture by behavior so ideal that our behavior itself becomes a preaching tool that will stop the disturbances. So where would you put this behavior? Positive, negative, or interesting? What do you think?
Positive.
Positive. When the behavior is becoming so much central point of our success. How do we behave? A Vaishnava behavior. The qualities of Vaishnava, 26 qualities, when they are developed, it is going to produce the behavior. So behavior doesn't come without Vaishnava qualities. So becomes exemplary. We have that point, right? Already? So, any comments? That's we end this seminar.
Maharaj, everything looks so contaminated.
Yes.
How to live a pure life?
Become more conscious of Krishna. And while using anything in the service of the body, that consummation, we have to think in terms of Krishna, and then this awareness itself will protect us. At least that is the gain. So let there be so much pollution, who cares? Our consciousness should not be polluted. We should have a shield, right? So we will be dead sure to go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime.
But the way, and the, even the food we have to buy.
Yes.
And they all...
That's correct. So, our process is very, very simple. We have to consciously, you know, take something which will be at least minimal. But we can't be fanatic also at the same time. Prabhupada also purchased milk from the gallons when in America it is too difficult to purchase the milk if it is not processed. You hardly can get raw milk. But Prabhupada purchased the milk and he was using it. But when he developed the ways and means to raise the cows, he insisted that. So fanaticism is not required, right? But at least the principle is remaining intact or not. That should be our consciousness function. As far as possible, you know, try to do it. Increase more and more. It's not that we will be bereft of not utilizing anything. There will be always alternatives. Our efforts should be Krishna conscious. Then it will be ingrained in the young mind. Right? And we should be more compassionate and be with them when they have something not experienced, they are getting into this experiences. You know? Because the bodies will be subjugated by the change of the mode of gunas working. So, at that time, when the parents become best of their friends, they will never go out of their clutches they should feel secure, tolerant, compassionate on him. The child will be also reciprocating in the same way. Unless and until, a parent becomes fanatical, he said, "Oh, you are disturbing my sadhana, go out, come on. If you don't want to come to temple, fine." It means we are encouraging them, rather than becoming compassionate on their situation. Especially adolescent ages are very, very confusing to those who are passing through that body. Right? So, it's the duty of the parents that they have to give proper attention and guidance, and care and compassion will take him, overcome every aspect. That you have to be intelligent enough to satisfy his inquisitiveness in a positive way. Krishna has given you so good brain, you have to utilize for your own kinsmen. Charity begins from home, Prabhu. Then you can expand outside. Otherwise, there is a proverb that ghar ke bacche ghanti chaate aur upadhyay ko aata deve. Charity begins at home. We deprive our own children just to give some alms to a priest. That's not good. The kids will go away. He will become Upadhyaya himself. Yes?
In our endeavor, we try to secure our life. So simultaneously, we also see that we should secure life for our kids so that they have a comfortable living. So how much we should endeavor on for this?
Good, intelligent question. Your target is always baffled by a changing economy. Right? Better be simple and you will be able to save more right now. It is advised, that spend less by simplicity and collect more, but at the same time keep Krishna's portion separate. Don't indulge into it. All right?
For our kids, how much we should try to give them?
Rupa Goswami gave the distribution. 50% for Krishna, 25% for your business and 25% for your family members. That's about it. And you see, it works very good.
In the current context.
There is no current.
In the current context, the earlier times there was job security and the economic situation was different. No doubt that there was more Vedic culture prevalent in those times, and there is relatively lesser prevalent in these ages. But here in this time, we are faced with more attacks of Maya and increasing uncertainty about how long will we able to earn itself is a big question mark in today's situation.
Means you are very unfortunate. to be born in this Kali Yuga is very unfortunate. What should we do? Become fortunate. Right? That is the only way. How would you become fortunate? Brahmande brahmite hoye kona bhagyavan jeev. That is the real fortune. And we may have to struggle to get this fortune. Right? But at the same time, this struggle becomes very productive. You will never gain, never have a loss. This is real gain. Yam labdva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tatah. The gain is your satisfaction. Suppose if you don't have money, yet you get satisfaction. And if you have money and you don't have satisfaction, then is the life worth living? Did you understand? If you don't have much of physical amenity, yet satisfaction comes, is that worth living more than even if you have so many things and no satisfaction? What would you prefer in this time and age? What do you prefer?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
How to get satisfaction because you are
right. If you satisfy the Supreme Lord, you get satisfied. Okay. Why only on Kali Yuga? In every Yuga, this was the means.
Maharaj, somehow the consciousness is, I'm talking only about my personal self, I'm obsessed with this idea that I should finish my money making and retire faster so that I can intensify my Krishna consciousness more, because the nature of the industry where personally I am working in, and I think most of the industries are like that, is that as we go more and more, our incomes are going to remain the same or probably come down, and you know, we may need to work 14, 16 hours a day simply to retain our job, because the other people are doing that. And then there is always this worry that we may not be able to do, we may not be able to do basic justice to our family.
So you have a very risky investment in your business. Why would you take so much risk? If it is that much uncertain future that you are projecting, people who invest money in share, stock, bonds, etc., if there is no security, why should they, unless they are greedy? Go for secure bonds, they are also available. Invest in them. Devotional service is the most security giving thing. Otherwise rest is insecure. Krishna says, yoga kshemam vahamyam. Tesham nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. Life insurance policy has this, and underwritten yoga kshemam vahamyam. They are cheaters. I have a disciple in Fiji and she is a life insurance agent, and I told her that this is cheating. She said, Maharaj, you are right. I said, they have stolen this particular verbs. The verse is that tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. Nitya yukta means those who are paying premiums all the time, we take care of them. But it's cheating. They never pay back any claim even. And I said, how much time do you take to pay the claim? You take a year, that's cheating. Do you give interest on that? He says, no. He says, you are right. It is cheating. I said, all the business are based on cheating. You are surviving on the life of somebody else. Survival of the fittest, artificial economy will put even consciousness so much into the ignorant state that our survival remains completely questionable, insecure. Life insurance means no insurance. Right? Prabhupada told us to give up our life insurance or health insurance because it's all cheating. But now we have to go back. Even for devotees, we have to get some life insurance. All the temples are getting into that. Those who are living full time in the temple, what is their security? They need a social structure. When Prabhupada started the movement, nobody had any life insurance, no health insurance, and we didn't die lack of it. But there was so much dynamism in preaching, and this was a positive risk that they took, and they advanced so fast. And you can see the result. But now it's coming to stagnancy with a lot of problems. And even one becomes pujari to earn money. So the temples are pressured to pay them. A paid pujari? And Prabhupada chastises this principle. So anyway, the point is, when we don't have resolute faith and determination, then the problem starts. But the ideal grahastha life must look into this deeper and try to minimize the so-called risks. Minimize the risk. You may have to take as much risk just needed to keep body and soul together, or think of little future like that. Take most minimum risk and you will be more happier. It won't entangle you. But if you take more risk without any security, then you are playing games. Maya can trick so fast. That is the fourth principle. No gambling means no indulgence in shares, stocks, bonds, insecure investments. That is also the fourth principle. Now, subtly, how does it apply in our earnings? How much risk are we taking? It's based on that. It doesn't mean we are advising you to give up. No. Whatever you have taken, can you manage it properly? If it is difficult to manage, then don't jump into more risky business. Save whatever you have. Protect it and utilize in with the jurisprudence and Krishna consciousness. An ideal grahastha is the best manager. Hey, that is the positive thing. He should be the best manager. The future of Krishna consciousness depends upon the best management.
Maharaj, in India we don't have farm or many hut. In Australia there are plenty of farms. So in future the farm life will be better?
Good thinking. I met some Punjabi Sikhs, they have moved to Australia about 160 years back. And they are all farmers. And they still have their tradition of farming. And they are so much living little better life. They came in canes, you know. And funny thing, they are not disturbed. Even though their entire crop of bananas, you know, was smashed by the hurricane. But in the very first day we went, we had a program. And one Punjabi Sikh, he was well known, he was passing through and he saw some kirtan going on. And he came. He said, oh, let me go and call my family. All right? So he brought the family and he asked one of our devotees, can I bring bananas? You know, what is the price of bananas?
Yes, gold, like a gold price.
Isn't it a good economy? Even his crops are ruined, he gets compensation. Only thing is that he doesn't have to do, because let the bananas grow for the next year and it will become productive again. But he is using the best of his time. He is purchasing properties. Look at that. So, where is the loss?
But Maharaj, in India, the Bardhaman, my in-law's grandmother, they have run. The Muslim has captured it.
Yeah.
And the communist is involved.
Oh yes.
Lord Bellan.
Yes.
And this thing happened here. Nobody captured anything. You know?
That's correct. Therefore, India is very insecure place. Don't send money there. Otherwise, somebody else will capture. But in America also it happens. I sent a check of $1,100. For a computer, somebody intercepted and cashed it, and I cannot find. Now they tell me that if you apply, we will suspect you too. So it becomes more difficult for a complainant to receive his money back. This is the, you know, society for cheater and cheated. So anyway, what can you do?
Maharaj, in India, meat-eating is becoming popular because people don't understand the reason why they should not have meat. Because like Western countries, although they are involved in meat-eating, they are flourishing. That's what like Indians are looking at the Western economy and they are thinking like, okay, even though they are into meat-eating, but still they are successful and they are like living a happy life. So why not we eat meat and become happy?
That is the external situation which is misunderstood. You know, which is misunderstood. Indians, sorry to say, we have a slave mentality. Our over dependency was created by treacherous, you know, plans of British. Even that mentality was not disturbed when the Muslims invaded, and they ruled more than Britishers. But Britishers came to destroy the culture. You know, we had the clipping.
Yeah.
Do you have it? No. Yeah, I have that in one of my folders. And it's a quote, you know, that British came to conquer India in the mercantile garb. They came as merchants and became mercenaries. Right? So, they took over, and some of their experts came, and they saw that India is very difficult to be conquered because they have strong faith in God. Unless and until we crack their faith, we will never be able to conquer. If you want, probably I will leave this quote with Asitaradya Prabhu, and you read for yourself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he understood this because he was raised amongst them. He was educated amongst them. But he was a silent witness in the early years and took help of Britishers to get educated even. And placed by their influence in such prestigious posts as magistrates of Jagannath Puri and Midnapur district. Right. So in the initial years, we see something of a contradictory character of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he was not at all into the spiritual aspect at all. You know? But he understood that what Britishers are doing, and he started, you know, indicating that. But because he has to get some position so he can do something, therefore he silently accepted in service of Krishna. So he was more internally situated than externally. And Krishna gave him opportunity and the right time, right place, everything, you know, he said. And therefore he counteracted the British plan to teach our own culture in their language, not in vernacular language. They said, we will teach you Sanskrit in English because your language is very, very good. So they started hitting the language, and they started deriding the culture and the religion. This was their main business. And it created so much detrimental effect that Indians started hating their own culture. They were thinking they are inferior because they are told by British that they are inferior. And they say, okay, come on, we will take you and make you superior. By converting them, by giving them education in foreign countries like London and others. Prabhupada was saved by his father, otherwise his mother wanted him to go to become barrister. You know? And Prabhupada's father said, no, I do not want my son to become a malecha. His desire was that he would become servant of Radharani. You know? So the idea is that the destruction in our culture, our Vedic religion, was done by the British. And it's written, it's open. But we became so much enslaved. For selfish desires, we started creating revolt against our own people. You see, the revolt in 1857, you know. British used Indians against Indians, divide and rule. They are still, and most of the Indians are still living on that, you know, divide and rule within. So these are the blessings of British, and therefore the culture is finishing very fast. And when they started going to America, the pizza culture, lasagna culture has entered, and Pizza Huts and McDonald's are taking over. We don't have McDonald's in Agra, but we have in Mathura. They did it purposely. So, you can see the detrimental effect. It's already 5:30. The class is over. Or is it here? The evening class. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. You are so kind and tolerant. You are very compassionate on me. Thank you.